My name is Anne Deneen, and I'm a camper. I was asked to do the orientation tonight, and I prayed about this for a long time after I was asked because I didn't really know how to do an orientation for this place. It's hard to break it down and talk about it piece by piece, but I thought about all the wonderful talks that I've heard from people on this night over the last few years that I've been coming. And I thought I would take you through the program, through this our daily program in this orientation, by telling you about how I first came to camp and what happened to me. So it's kind of the camp first-time camper through my eyes. And I'm just wondering how many people have come to this camp because someone invited them. Okay, that's so great. So I want to propose that that invitation came right from the Lord God. And I came because my friends asked me to come and then made it possible for me to come. And I think they just got tired of hearing me put it off. And it was Judy Smith and Joe Hackinson. And they brought me here my first year. And they would tell me over the years, they would try to, we've known each other for a long time, they come, so we go to this great camp on Lake Winnipesaukee. Oh, what's it like? Well, it's intergenerational, family. We've been going there for years. It's creative. That was a good word. And it's spent a lot of time in prayer. And they didn't give me a lot of details about it. And I'm really glad of it because coming to camp was kind of a plunge into the unknown. Now, they drove me over here, and before I ever got out of the car, I had heard them talk a little bit about Glenn Clark, and Star Daly is a favorite with Joe. So they were speaking of those things as we came, and they began to use the expression athletes of the spirit. Now, I know most of you know what that is, for I did not realize that was Glenn Clark's phrase, and I didn't realize at the time, I do now, that it came out of his experience as a coach and a teacher and through his deep life of prayer. So I listened to what they said, but I didn't form any judgments. So we rolled up pretty early in the morning at about like 9:30, 10 o'clock to get there for a council ring meeting. And as soon as I got out of the car, people came over and began to hug. Not at first, Sandy. I have to say, I thought, you know, I've lived in New England for too long, and you know, I've gotten really good at this. Now, and you kind of get it drilled out of you in some ways with New Englanders. And in my family, my mom does, God forgive me, I'm not criticizing her, but she does kind of the air kiss on either side of the cheek, so we don't actually touch. She's gotten better at it over the years. But they started to hug me, and I guess they sensed that I was a little uptight about it, and they looked at me. Someone looked me right in the face, and I honestly, to this day, don't know who it was, and said, "We hug here. This is what we do. Get used to it." And so I decided to take the plunge, and I did. I said, you know, I remember hugging. It was a lot of fun. So that was good. That was a first lesson. But what it was a welcome. And it was an embrace for me. A stranger, I didn't know them. They didn't know me. But they made me feel welcome. So that first moment of welcome was really important. And I discovered later on that week that we're all here by divine appointment. And I felt like that was that first acknowledgement, that first touch, that we're here because somebody wants us to be here. Somehow God brought me to this place at that time, and it was a warm-hearted welcome. I felt like I had been away for a long time. It was the oddest thing. I felt like I had been away, like you had been here all the time and I had gone away and now I'd come back, even though I'd never been here before. So that sense of openness was really marvelous and homecoming. But because I was with Joe and Judy that morning, they had to go to counseling, and so I learned something really important about camp because they allowed me to sit in on counseling. They asked permission, and everybody prayed about it, and then they said I could sit, but just to be quiet. And so I did, and I really listened to how the camp is prayed about and talked about among the leaders. And I had been in a Quaker school as a young person, so I knew I understood the power of consensus, but it was beautiful to see it happen at Council Ring. So things about the program would come up, and there would be a stop, and there would be silence, and people would listen, and someone would talk, and there would be silence. And then somebody would say something, and there would be prayer. And into the silence, consensus came. So it was really a wonderful process. So that was probably at 11 o'clock, and my conversion to camp was well underway, just watching that. So after council ring, there was the whole thing of settling in and finding your room. And Joe had told me where to go. I was in the inn, but I was not, sadly, on the third floor. I was only on the second floor. I made it up to the third floor the next year. But in my room was a beautiful piece of paper which someone had placed there and had prayed in that room and blessed that room. And you cannot imagine, I mean, there are some people who are here for the first time tonight. I don't know what it was about that piece of paper, but I carried it around all year and read it occasionally because it was so beautiful to know that someone had come into my room and prayed for me, and in fact that people had been praying already all year. It's a wonderful thing. And I found that it would be very sustaining from year to year as we go to camp, praying about who's going to be here, who will be coming, who will God bring, how will they come into this place, how will we be. So it was, you know, a very slow unfolding all day of the presence of the Holy Spirit in all of this. So evening came, dinner, and then there was singing. Oh, it was incredible. Everybody sang loudly. I'm not sure what we sang that night, but I think Jack was the leader, and Joel, you were leading too, and Patricia was playing, and then there was this whole chorus of people over here who sang really loudly and sang in parts, and it was wonderful. So singing is a big part of the day at camp. I know for most of you in this orientation that singing is kind of like a big punctuation. Major transitions are marked with singing in our day. So I came together in this with all of you to praise. And pretty much almost all the singing we do here is this powerful words of praise to God. And it has this, for me at least, it has the... I have the experience of opening up to something through song. I don't know if it's because we're breathing deeply or singing out or whatever it is, but your heart gets opened in singing, at least mine does, and that prepared me for the talk that night. Carol Powers was the chair of the council ring, and she did the orientation that night, and she talked about the structure of the day being around the idea of breathing. And I know you all know this, and folks who are new for the first time, that was the idea that each day is structured about inhalation and exhalation was a beautiful image for me. And Carol went through each activity explaining how there's times of quiet where we draw in and times where we reach out. There's times where we're just resting and being inspired and other times where we're expressing ourselves or connecting with others. So that structure of inhalation and exhalation, of course, at the time I didn't know that it was Glenn Clark's genius. I thought Carol was a genius. And of course you are, Carol. So it was really a wonderful image. And Carol then said this beautiful phrase again that we're in an experiment in kingdom living. And then she went on to say, a kingdom has to have a king. And in our kingdom, Jesus is our king. Well, I just felt all the stress that I'd come with, and I had quite a bit, just kind of getting here was a big deal. And I just felt things kind of fall away and thanked God that there was a king, There was someone who paid attention. And then in this camp, that someone in this camp, that all of the people here, the leaders, the people who were part of it, from the littlest ones to the oldest ones, were really aware that someone was paying attention. So that was that first evening. I will say, I think I skipped something, maybe not. Nope. So if you look at your book, and here everybody knows, the inside this is a on page 7 is the list of the day if you haven't looked at it. And this is mostly for, it's for all of us. I always am interested in reading these things. I usually don't read handbooks, but I did this time. And it's really a good handbook. So I encourage you to look at it if you have questions about details of the program. But I'll take you through the day now, just a kind of quick run through. The morning starts, if you're brave, with a swim with the loons. And if you've been down to the water in the morning, you know how beautiful it is. And it isn't just loons, it's also mergansers. And if you go, sometimes an eagle flies from the north to the south across the top of the lake. I've seen that a couple times here. So that's a beautiful way of opening up and that exhalation of getting active. Then right after the swim, there's the inhalation of meditation, and we gather outside in the chapel over there on the hill for morning meditation. Now, truth be told, I used to fall asleep. The first 3 or 4 days I did this, I just fell asleep. I looked like I was praying, but I was really sleeping. And nobody figured it out because I didn't sleep, you know, I didn't sit too close to anybody. And it was... It took a while to get used to that. I love to meditate, but this was a little different. And we have beautiful speakers each day, so you'll find that there's always something wonderful that comes either in words or in silence in that time of morning meditation. But that time of preparation was really important to me. Then there was breakfast, and then I was surprised to see that we were going to sing again. I really didn't realize. And I was deliberately not looking at, I didn't want to know what was coming. I just kind of wanted to be with what was happening. And we came in and started to praise and sing and carry on. And the next thing that happened was Joyce Carol. What chance was there for me? There was no hope for me. It was just incredible. I was sore from laughing, I remember, after that first talk. And she had that great capacity of taking us through the whole gamut of human emotion, laughter, tears. And I thought somewhere in there, I was, man, this is the most wonderful thing. And I felt again that sense of homecoming. Now, one of the interesting things about divine appointment, which made me think about it more, is Joyce Carol's words sounded really familiar to me. And later on, I realized in the week, as I listened to her background, when I was in high school, I had leaders in our church who, I don't know if they had anything to do with Winnie, but they were reading Winnie things, and they were talking like Winnie people, and they talked like Joyce Carol. And I had read Agnes Sanford, and I'd been interested in healing, and I was curious about all of that, and she brought that all up again. So that was kind of a deep memory, and I thought, well, God had prepared the way for that first week of camp. So one of the things that Joyce Carol said that I think camp is about is an invitation to authentic life. That it's you and God together, she said, creating your life. You and God in union. And I think the camp is about that, that this experiment is about taking us closer to our union with God. Sometime in the middle of that first week, I realized that farthest out meant going farther out in faith. I mean, it took me that long to figure that out. Farthest out meant taking a risk in faith and going into the deep waters with Jesus, and or off onto the horizon to go past the edge. And I had this image of sailing off the end of the earth like they used to in medieval maps, the ships would fall off the end of the earth. But that was kind of like coming to camp. But what happened is you fall off the end of the earth into the arms of God here at camp. And the structure creates those arms. So in rhythms, that's the next thing that happened after speaking. We would go outside. I'd never been in a rhythms thing before, ever, maybe not since kindergarten. And it was really great. Someone played music. Someone gave us some movements to do. I think it was Judy, actually. Judy Smith was rhythms leader. And we had this kind of glorious play time with people moving in a big circle or doing big mountain gestures, like, you know, walking around, carrying on. And I felt a lot of feelings moving in me. And I know all of you, a lot of you do body work of some kind or another. But the great thing about rhythms, if you move with it, you can get a hold of feelings that you can't put into words. Your body has a way of moving energy. And it's still, to this day, one of my favorite things. One of the most healing moments I have had in camp came that very first week, I think on the second day, or third day rather. We were doing a circle dance, and my first years of the pastorate in my church, I buried a generation of people. My church had a generation of elderly folks who were slowly passing away, and I think they were waiting for me to get there, and I'm not making a funny about it. I think they were really waiting for a pastor to come, because as soon as I got there, they really did start to die. So I had done a huge number of funerals, and it had become kind of a joke among my colleagues, like, did you have another funeral? And I got here, and somewhere in the middle of that week, during rhythms and that dance, all the faces of the people that I had laid to rest came up, one by one. And it was the first time as a pastor that I'd had a chance and the time to honor them and to mourn them in a deep way. I started to cry, and people gathered round, and I had that experience of just being able to say, I was so sad to have lost them. And we don't usually get to express that in many places as pastors. We do a lot of our grieving by ourselves, and it was a really beautiful thing to be able to do that here. And I can honestly say I appreciate camp so much, because it's a place for me to just kind of be who I am and feel what I need to feel. So I didn't know that I'd been carrying all that sorrow in my body, and rhythms helped that. Then creatives is the next part of the day, an outreach moment, and an in-reach moment. We've just been in outreach. In-reach and creatives. And I was in the writing group with Courtney, which is another conversion experience. I converted to Courtney. She was amazing. And we had a beautiful, beautiful writing group. Part of it was not so much even the writing, the chance to write for an hour every day, which I loved, but to listen to what other people were thinking and writing. And during that time, that beautiful hour, we knew somewhere people were painting or dancing or drawing, and we could often hear the choir singing up here, and the music would roll down the hill while we were writing. So everywhere around us, people were doing creative things and expressing themselves. But most of all, for me in the writing group, we were listening to each other. I wanted to title this talk either A Beautiful Surprise or A Beloved Community. And I couldn't decide which, but that was the way the day went. Every moment in the day, I would be surprised by feeling close to people or surprised by something beautiful that I didn't expect to happen. Lunch came, and then the real shock that first day was the required nap. So it was blissful, I have to say. I think I fell asleep after 5 minutes, and I remembered that proverb, a little rest, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands. And it was wonderful to surrender to the need for rest. And I don't know about you, but I don't often do that. So to have someone say to me, you have to rest, was totally great. I love the nap. I haven't given it up, and I sometimes sleep through rest time or recreation time from 2 to 4. But that day, I went down to the lakefront and discovered that there were kayaks. Now, I love to kayak, and I thought, this is a detail so wonderful. I mean, if God hadn't already been bewitching me with Joyce Carol and with Courtney and with rhythms and all this other stuff, to have a kayak there was supreme. So I felt really cared for. And I don't know about you, but those details don't go past me. That there's so much here that has been attended to and thoughtfully attended to by so many people. And in that sense of community, you feel that God is caring for you in a beautiful way. At 4 p.m., I went to the first prayer preparation, and I appreciated, as many of you do, that half an hour to just kind of let things fall away and quiet your mind and quiet your body, and to then go into prayer group. My prayer group, I don't remember what number it was, but I do remember the leader, and that was Don Krall. And he was great. Don was great. I wasn't sure what it was going to be like to be in prayer group. I hadn't been in a Winnie CFO prayer group before, so I didn't know the method that a lot of you know so intimately, where you sit quietly and wait and listen. And Don did a beautiful job modeling that, just being very quiet. He invited us to be quiet together and then see where it led. And people said things as they felt the Spirit pressing on them. And what I loved about it is we not only talked about our individual needs, but people had a concern for the world. So it wasn't just about me, mine, my spiritual life, or your spiritual life. It was really about the peace and harmony in the world. So we finished our first prayer group, and I felt like we'd gone everywhere. We'd prayed about something in Africa. We'd prayed about war. We'd prayed about all kinds of things. We'd prayed about young people. We'd prayed about our own lives. And it was a great holistic experience. And I know now, of course, that's the way it's supposed to be in those prayer groups. But each point of the day is an invitation, I think, to trust God a little more. Just to trust a little more. And it really happens deeply in prayer group, in the prayer labs. At the end of that, there's dinner, as you all know, and then we come back to sing an evening talk, and that same rhythm of listening and moving. And I've come to love the evening talks. Ever since Joyce Carol, I've learned that each speaker is unique and has something important to say, something beautiful to say somewhere, and it was helpful to pay attention. One of the words that comes up a lot, I think, here, and correct me if I'm wrong, is surrender. And it seems to me that the program at our camp helps us surrender more deeply to God by the structure and by the thoughtfulness and the prayer of the leaders and the people here. One of the high points of that week was at the blessing service, and Joel stood up, no doubt led by the Spirit, to sing a beautiful hymn called Give Me Jesus. Do you all remember that, people who were here? So beautiful. Beautiful, sweet Joel's voice. And I thought about that phrase, give me Jesus. What I think our camp is about is Jesus giving himself to us. And the prayer, give me Jesus, is answered here through so many ways that Jesus offering himself to us. And for me, even after 5 years, it's still an adventure and a surprise. I'm always surprised by what happens at camp this week. I feel like it was a process of falling in love and a kind of community that holds together, whether we're here physically or we're on Facebook or we are connected through email or just through prayer through the year. It's a powerful support for me, and it's helped my own ministry become more grounded. It's helped me think very creatively about the kingdom of heaven being with us here and now, and how God brings that about. So you're here by divine appointment, and something beautiful will happen. And I pray that the Lord will meet you in this week. Amen.